Okay, folks, I'm going to try to record the quickest podcast in history as I walk along the beach. I'm at Rockport, Mass, trying to have a little relaxing couple days off. Of course, the NFL has absolutely no interest in cooperating on this. So, the question is, what do we do with this Kansas City backfield? Well, first, let's just go back to the Rotomon draft plan for a second and remember why we didn't put Williams in that group of guys you need to clear off before you start taking the next group of guys. So hopefully nobody did anything silly like taking Damian Williams over Mike Evans or Antonio Brown or Tyreek Hill or one of these guys, Joe Mixon, Connor, Chubb, whoever was in the second round for you. If you didn't do that, you're okay. You know, if you took Damian Williams in the third or even the late second, you're probably going to be okay. So don't stress out too much. The big question, because what's done is done, how are we going to adjust going forward? And we have to adjust. We can't just be a bunch of donkeys and keep taking Damian Williams, you know, at the 2-3 turn or mid-third, because there's simply no reason to pay that much anymore. Now, my take on Williams, for those who've read the rankings, it's not drastically different. You know, I had him sort of 15-plus touches. I thought he'd be teasing 20 on most weeks. I think he's probably dropping down into that 15 area now if McCoy plays well. And that's another big factor here, folks. I don't think McCoy is washed, but I think he's less than, you know, his peak form self. So how do we deal with that? Because there's absolutely the possibility that McCoy comes in and is really only able to provide some veteran, you know, carry, some veteran leadership. And this gets to the point on Damian Williams, the reason I wasn't 100% all in on him in the first place, the reason I didn't have him say in the first round. We've talked about him a lot, and if you've ever read anything that I've written, you'll see that the strengths I always give Damian Williams are size, speed, game-breaking ability, and receiving ability. Really good in those areas. He's also a decent runner. If you give him a crease and get him to the second level, he can do some real damage. What Williams is not gifted at is being a really dependable inside runner. He'll be hit and miss. A little bit like David Johnson, but not as good. What McCoy does, in my opinion, is it strengthens up what was the weakness of the Kansas City running game, which was having a dependable inside runner with quality vision in the scheme. Remember, McCoy knows this scheme. And I think it was a great move for the Chiefs in that regard. Carlos Hyde wasn't going to be that guy. He doesn't know the scheme as well. He's not as versatile. He doesn't give them, you know, on early downs, yeah, your running back is a runner. But Andy Reid wants backs who can always be multiple for him. And Carlos Hyde is not really multiple. He's a functional receiver. McCoy's an excellent receiver as a running back. He's not a break formation guy in Damian Williams' mode. He's no longer as explosive, but he's got excellent hands, good hips. So on early downs, he's a big improvement over Carlos Hyde, just in terms of his skill set, if you look at the career. So this is a good move for Kansas City. And look, we're playing fantasy football. Fantasy football works off of real football. So we want to look at this in real football terms. What are the Chiefs doing here? Well, I think they're doing what I sort of alluded to there. I think they want to make sure they've always got somebody they can depend on running the ball on early downs who will run it the way Andy Reid sort of envisions it being run. And I think they like Darrell Williams. I think they really like Darwin Thompson. I think they really like Damian Williams. But none of these guys are instincted and gifted at what we're talking about here. Now they've got a guy, if things are sort of breaking down in a game a little bit and they need somebody to run it right, they've got a guy who can do that. Now, how are the roles going to break down? Well, to quote Jim Belushi from about last night, at this point, we don't know. But I'm going to take a swing at it. I got a pretty good feel for what I think this is going to be. I think you're looking at primarily a two-man backfield where over time they're going to want to sprinkle in some Darwin Thompson. And Thompson will become a huge factor if McCoy does prove to be washed, if McCoy is clearly less than out there, if he's not bringing enough explosiveness to the table. But the Chiefs were in a great position here, and I apologize for these breaking waves. I'm not sure how loud they're going to be on the recording. This is going to come down to how well Shady McCoy plays. If McCoy plays well, I think we're looking at sort of a two-man backfield. But again, real football. Let's think about this. Play the tape all the way to the end. The Chiefs are a team, at least in their mind, they're competing for a title. So, again, let's assume Shady McCoy's really good. Well, they're looking at, what, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20-game season, something like that, right? So they're not going to look to just give LeSean McCoy 20-plus touches a game so they can get off to a 10-0 start and then have a washed McCoy down the stretch. I think you're looking at, they're going to try to find optimal usage for McCoy, where he gives them exactly what they want. And again, the better he plays, I think the more fresh they're going to want to keep him on some level. So to me, they're going to mix and match Damian Williams with LeSean McCoy. We don't know who's going to start yet. I think it's probably going to be Williams, but we don't know. Could be McCoy. They may give the veteran the thing. But I think the touches are probably going to be pretty close. And there's plenty of room for both of these backs to get, you know, 14 to 18 a week, that kind of thing. And again, this goes back to the reason we wanted Damian Williams the whole time. His dynamic skill set fits this offense in a similar way that McCoy's running style fits this offense. And I think McCoy is a good enough receiver where he's going to get receiving work when he's in there. And Damian Williams is a good enough runner where he's going to get running work when he's in there. Now, who's more valuable? To me, it's Williams. He's younger. He's more explosive. He's fresher. He's probably in a better position to take a workload just because he's got less mileage. So, to me, I move Damian Williams down because I know I'm going to be able to target him now in the fourth and the fifth. I want him ahead of guys like Miles Sanders. And really, I want him ahead of most of those fourth-round running back targets. The beauty now is that if we want to target Damian Williams, if we want to target him, we can get, you know, three foundational players on our team, maybe even a fourth if we want to get aggressive and hope he falls in the fifth. There's some new ways we can do team building with this guy. I think it's a good thing. And then the second question sort of becomes, do we want to target LeSean McCoy? And what is the price going to be? Now, I'll be honest, I don't know what the price is going to be. The price could be something like fifth round. Who knows, maybe more. And if that's it, I really can't see me wanting to pay it. I think the chance of injury is too high. And again, I think even if the people who are singing McCoy's praises right now, if they're 100% right, then Kansas City's not going to use him up. He's too old. So this has to be a shared backfield to me. I think it always sort of was. And for me right now, you know, in a very sort of rounded off general sense, for the immediate future, I think it's sort of McCoy in, Darwin out. But all three of these backs will be competing now. And we'll just have to see how it shakes out. But Damian Williams was always about upside rather than floor. He was always about trying to get a big, exciting piece of that Kansas City offense. And really, the only way it's not going to work for you, and again, it may not work to the level some of us drafted him at, but he's still going to be a really good player for us. The way this thing goes south is if Damian Williams plays really badly and isn't making plays, then he could get shut out in favor of Darwin Thompson. But that was always a risk, right? I mean, bad play is always a risk. If Damian Williams had played bad in any of these scenarios, if Carlos Hyde was there, if Williams plays bad and isn't making plays, then he'll end up losing out to Darrell Williams or Thompson. I mean, some back is going to be playing well for the Chiefs. I mean, that was always going to be the case. So I wouldn't lose a lot of sleep over this if you've already paid some money for Williams. I have. And the important thing is not to get stuck in the mud here. We need to adjust on the fly, keep our head on a swivel, check out what the ADP is going to be. And over the next 24 hours, 48 hours maybe, we'll come up with a way to target McCoy in our drafts on, you know, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, for those drafting on Friday and Saturday, and so forth. So that's all I have right now, an on-the-fly, quick podcast, sitting here on the beach, getting a sunburn. Hope you guys are all having a good weekend. Sorry if the updates have been a little slow, but, you know, got to take a break and recharge the batteries every now and then. Thanks for tuning into this very odd episode of the Rotobomb Podcast. Okay. We'll catch you later.